you would, take your Bibles, turn to Acts, the first chapter, Acts chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 8 in just a moment as the text for our lesson. We've been studying a series of lessons in regard to the Holy Spirit, and what we want to look at in our lesson this evening is why the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Why did this happen? Why did this take place? And hopefully, after this study, we will know many of the reasons that are given to us by God why the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 there, beginning in verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them," and the "them" is the apostles, "he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem," "them" again is the apostles, "but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So that promise he was making to the apostles. He says, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world.'" So here we see that God is speaking, and he's speaking to the apostles. Christ is speaking to the apostles, and he's telling them that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit not long from this point in time. They were going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, so the mind of God in regard to revealing the plan of salvation, the scheme for redeeming mankind, could be revealed. Now, we know in Acts chapter 2 that that which was promised to them actually came, and we can read there beginning in verse 1. It says that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they, and again this is a reference back to the apostles, were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So we have the apostles here, as was promised, as was foretold them, that they needed to tarry in Jerusalem till they would be endued with power from on high. And we see that this takes place here in the first few verses of Acts chapter 2. The only other instance of any being baptized with the Holy Spirit was Cornelius and his household. And that was so the Jews would understand that the Gentiles were also being granted repentance to life, or the salvation that is available in Christ. If you'll turn over to Acts the 11th chapter and look at verses 12 through 18, here is his account. It says, "Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent and glorified God, saying, 'Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life.'" So we see in regard to the two instances of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the one we want to focus on in our lesson tonight is the apostles being baptized by the Holy Spirit. Why were the apostles baptized by the Holy Spirit? That's a good question. And the Bible answers that question for us. First reason that is given why the apostles were baptized by the Holy Spirit is so they could remember what Jesus had taught them. God was going to provide for the apostles perfect remembrance. Now that's something. You just think about it. Those of us who are getting a little bit older in age, what happens to your memory as you get a little bit older? You don't remember things you used to remember. You know, that's a pretty good gift, to have perfect remembrance, isn't it? To have perfect remembrance. And that's exactly what was promised to the apostles. Go over to John, the 14th chapter, and look at verse 26. Now, we have to remember that the apostles had sat at the feet of Jesus, had been involved in his ministry, hearing his teaching for about 3.5 years. So this is a pretty long period of time. And notice what he says to them in verse 26. He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." How many of us would like to have perfect remembrance again? I'm raising my hand. You know, I never had it, but I'd like to have perfect remembrance. That would be pretty good. That would be pretty good. So here we see that by being baptized by the Holy Spirit, this is what gave the apostles the opportunity to have this perfect type of remembrance. It also was going to be used to guide them into all the truth. Go to John, the 16th chapter, in verses 13 through 15. It says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will declare, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has said are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it unto you." So we see that this guidance that they were going to have, that the apostles would be guided into all the truth. Not some of the truth, not part of the truth. They would just not remember bits and pieces of the truth. They would remember all the truth. And we realize that's important because in John, the 8th chapter, Jesus said there in verses 31 and 32, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." See, the truth can make us free, and that's the truth that the apostles were able, by being baptized by the Holy Spirit, to be guided into all the truth. They had a knowledge of this truth. They had a perfect remembrance of this truth. And the truth is, of course, that salvation is only available in Jesus Christ. Go to Acts, the 4th chapter, and look at verse 10. I want to read down through verse 12. It says, "Let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus," and this is Peter. I probably should go back up and kind of set the stage for these verses 10 through 12. Look at verse 8. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them." So this answer he's about to give is the answer that God has given him through the Holy Spirit. He says, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all the truth, and the truth is that salvation is directly connected to Christ. It can't be found in the name of any man. Salvation is only available in Christ. The Holy Spirit, the apostles were also baptized with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit revealed the wisdom of God concerning his plan for redeeming you and me. concerning his plan of salvation, how we are to be saved. Now, we want to note that God's plan had not been revealed before now. It had been something that was a mystery. It was not completely understood. Go over to Ephesians chapter 3 and look there in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, and we'll read down through verse 6. It says, how that by revelation he made known to me. Now, this is Paul speaking to the Christians at the church at Ephesus, and he's saying the way he is giving them this information is that it came by revelation. It was made known to me. And he says, made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed. Who helped reveal this to the apostles? By the Spirit, to his holy apostles and prophets. Well, what's the mystery? The Jews knew they were the children of God. They knew they were promised the blessings of God. They knew they were looking forward to Messiah. But the mystery that was going to be revealed in verse 6 is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. So salvation was going to be available to all men. That was the mystery that was now being revealed through the apostles because they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Look how Paul puts it when he writes to the Christians there at the church at Corinth. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at verses 9 through 13. He says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us, he's speaking, including himself as an apostle, through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. It says, now we have received, he's talking about the apostles, including himself, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why had the apostles received the Spirit that was from God? Why had they been baptized with the Spirit? That we might know the things that have freely been given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the Holy Spirit revealed the mind of God to man by using spiritual words to make his message known to us. And then he says, and when you read this message, you'll be able to understand it. Pretty good, huh? God has this plan. He wants it to be unveiled. He unveils it, the plan that salvation is only in Christ with the Holy Spirit through the apostles, so we can understand it, so we can have access to this one body, both Jew and Gentile. And we need to realize that revelation is the process by which Christ taught the apostles to know and to obey God's will. Go over to the book of Galatians, and we'll look at the example of Paul here. Galatians chapter 1, and look at verses 11 and 12. He says, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. He said, I didn't come up with all this. I didn't come up with this message that I am preaching you. He says, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, Christ used the Holy Spirit to reveal his will to the apostles, to guide them into all the truth. That's what we've seen. So this process by which this takes place is called revelation. And then the Holy Spirit baptized the apostles so that when they conveyed this message, they would be able to confirm that this message was not from men, but was from God by the miracles that they performed. Look over to Hebrews, the second chapter, Hebrews chapter 2, and look at verses 3 and 4. It says there, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" Who heard Jesus? The apostles. That's who it's speaking about. "God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." In order to accomplish this great salvation and make this great salvation available by the grace of God, two things were necessary in the eyes of God, or in the mind of God. That the truth had to be preached. It had to be taught. The truth had to be taught. Well, how were they going to know who the truth was? Well, the Holy Spirit gave the apostles the truth. And secondly, that truth, that word that was preached, that word that was taught, would be confirmed by miracles, by signs, by wonders. So the message of the apostles could be confirmed as coming from God. That their message was not the mere message of intelligent men, educated men, which many of the apostles were not. But if we think of Paul, he was. But Paul even declares, it's not from man. I didn't get this from man. It comes from God, and it was revealed through the Holy Spirit. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 at verses 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And here Paul, speaking to the brethren at Corinth, said, "In my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So Paul's preaching was in demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, of the power of God granted to the apostles through the Holy Spirit, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we want to note that others were able to confirm the word also through miracles other than the apostles. But how did this happen? How did this take place? How did they get the ability to do this? Well, let's go to Acts, the 8th chapter, Acts chapter 8, and begin there in verse 12, and we'll read down through verse 18. Acts 8, beginning in verse 12, it says, "But when they believed Philip as preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them," apostles who had been baptized with the Holy Spirit, "who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had not fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." It says, "Now when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money." Now, he just didn't want a gift of the Spirit. He wanted the same power that the apostles had to give a gift of the Spirit. That's what he was wanting to buy. That's what he was wanting to purchase. He says, "Saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money." And he goes on to say, you know, you have neither a part nor portion of this matter. Your heart's not right in the sight of God, and you need to repent of your wickedness and pray God to forgive you. So that's what took place in regard to Acts chapter 8, verses 12 through 13, reading down through about verse 20. How did they get this ability? By the apostles laying hands on them and imparting the spiritual gifts. Now, these are the same spiritual gifts that the Apostle Paul speaks of that some of the Corinthians had. If you go over to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and look there at verse 7 and go down through verse 11, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So see, the apostles laid hands and the Holy Spirit, a gift of the Holy Spirit was given to people because it would profit the church. And notice what he says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So the Holy Spirit decided what gift the person would receive in regard to the apostles laying their hands on someone. So we can see that these people then who went out from the apostles, having the apostles lay their hands on them, were able to preach and teach the word, and it was able to be confirmed through the miracles that they were able to perform. So we see how the gospel could spread so quickly in the first century. Well, another reason given to us by God that the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit was so that they would utter or speak the message of God. Go back over to Acts chapter 2. And we read down to Acts 2 verse 4, but we didn't read the end of verse 4. It says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, that they as the apostles, and they began to speak with other tongues as they decided whatever they wanted to talk about." Is that what it says? It says, "As the Spirit gave them utterance." In other words, the Spirit gave them the words that they needed to say in this situation and on this occasion. And you know, that's the very thing that Jesus had promised to his apostles. If you go back over to Matthew, the 10th chapter, Matthew chapter 10, and look there beginning at verse 16, and go down through verse 22, he says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved." It's not you who speaks, but who? It's the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. You want an example of that, don't you? Well, we're going to look at one. Turn over to the book of Acts, the 4th chapter. And look there in Acts chapter 4, in verse 13. This is when Peter and John had been brought before the tribunal there in regard to their healing the man. And notice what it says there in verse 13. We won't go back, but if you want to read chapter 4, you will see that, you know, this how this man was healed and what disturbance had been caused by that. It says, "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Here's the council. The wisest men of that day and time, they couldn't figure out a way to deny what had happened. There was no way to deny what had happened. He said, "But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and which we have heard." Did God give them the words that they needed when they came before this tribunal? He sure did. So much to the fact that they realized, hey, these are uneducated, untrained men, and they were marveling at their answers. They were marveling at their defense of why they had been arrested. So we need to realize that that was another reason that the Holy Spirit, that the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And another reason is because of the testimony of the Holy Spirit to prove the deity of Christ. Turn over to John the 15th chapter. John the 15th chapter, and look at verses 26 and 27. It says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So the Holy Spirit's going to testify of me, and then you're going to testify of me also. So the Holy Spirit would testify about Christ, and the apostles were given the testimony by the Holy Spirit of the things Jesus wanted them to speak to others. So the message that they were speaking, it had come from God, it had come through Jesus, come through the Holy Spirit, now to the apostles. It's given, and we have it. We have that message for us today. We have those same words that are uttered. We have that same testimony. Note what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." The only thing that Paul wanted to declare was the testimony of God, so the wisdom of God could be made known to those people in Corinth, to those Christians in the church at Corinth. And that's what God desires for us today, is to know his testimony, to know about his wisdom that he has revealed and the plan he has for saving each one of us. Well, also another reason why the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit was the one who would be able to comfort them. You see, Jesus was about to leave the apostles, and he's trying to prepare them for their time when he will not be present with them. Go to John the 14th chapter and look at verses 16 through 18. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter or helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." So God was going to come to the apostles as a comforter, as a helper, through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. Now, in Acts the 9th chapter, then we have some divine proof of this divine comfort that's granted by the Holy Spirit. Look in Acts 9 and verse 31. It says, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied." Now, what we need to realize is the comfort that the Holy Spirit gave the apostles, the comfort that the Holy Spirit gave the churches in the first century, the local churches, it can give us and grant to us that very same comfort today. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." See, the Holy Spirit is still the comforter. Because through the Word of God today, we can receive comfort. We can receive strength. We can be uplifted by the message of the Holy Spirit. We can find comfort in the love of God. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in verse 16, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or perfect, thoroughly equipped, thoroughly furnished for every good work. All of God's writings are sacred. They're inspired of God. They are the breath of God. They are inspired. God breathed. But how do we get these spiritual truths from God? How did we come to attain them? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll note that the Scripture states that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And when they were moved by the Holy Spirit, that's what they wrote. That's what they recorded. And we can see the extent of that if you go to the book of Revelation and look in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, and then we'll look at another verse in just a moment. It says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me," write. Now this is John's record. He says, "The voice from heaven said to me, write." Here's what you write, John. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." So the Spirit told him exactly what to write. Now look in Revelation chapter 10. At verse 4, if there was something they thought they should write, but it wasn't in accord with the Spirit, notice how the Spirit intervenes here. It says, "Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them." So God told them exactly what to write. And if they were about to write something that was not to be revealed by the Spirit, he told them, "No, don't write that. Don't write that. That's not what I want to be revealed." So that's the idea that we have in regard to inspiration. We also know that the Holy Spirit provided the apostles with divine protection. And Jesus spoke about that in the Great Commission there of Mark. If we go over to Mark the 16th chapter, and just down below it, after the commission is given, he sends them into all the world. I want to go ahead and read, starting in verse 15. He says, "Said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up in the heavens and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So we see that Jesus says here that in their going out and preaching the gospel and doing these signs and different things, that he would grant unto them divine protection from their enemies until they had accomplished their purpose. Their purpose was to do what? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. That was their purpose. So they had need of divine protection. Well, if we go and then we look at some examples, go over to Acts the 28th chapter, Acts 28, and look at verses 1 through 6, and we can see an example of Paul. It says, now when they had escaped, that they then found out the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome, because of the rain that was falling, because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and had laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he should swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said that he was a god. How was Paul able to withstand the bite of this venomous serpent? The Holy Spirit, the promise that Christ had given. Look in Acts the 12th chapter. Acts chapter 12. Look at the situation in regard to Peter. Being in prison there, beginning in verse 1, it says, now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church, and then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the doors were keeping the prison. And now, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. And so we know that Peter was able to escape. Do you think that's divine protection that Jesus talked about? It's provided. Yeah, that's the very thing that was being spoken of. Also, the apostles gave witness to the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit, being baptized by the Holy Spirit, allowed them to be witnesses to Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and even his ascension. Let's go back over to Acts chapter 1, there verses 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, would you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me. Jerusalem, that's where Pentecost, the feast was held, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So it started in Jerusalem, and it spread, and they gave witness to the fact that Jesus was the Christ. Look over in Acts chapter 2. In verses 29 through 33, it says, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to his flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, and this is Paul's sermon, he says, of which we are all witnesses. He includes the other apostles. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now see and hear. So they were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. They were also eyewitnesses of his ascension. Look in Acts 1, 9 through 11. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have saw him go into heaven. So they were eyewitnesses of his ascension from earth to heaven. And remember, in this context, this is the apostles who were these witnesses. We also know, in regard to the keys to the kingdom, that they were that the kingdom was open to the Jews in Acts 2, and it was open to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 by the preaching of the gospel. If we go back over to Matthew the 16th chapter and look there in verses 18 and 19, Jesus says, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So Jesus gave Peter and the apostles the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and he also gave them binding and loosening power. This was given to the apostles. But we see in that they were restricted only to bind where God had bound. If you go back over to Psalm 119 and verse 89, the scripture states, Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So the apostles had the power to bind and loose only what had been bound and loosed by God and what was revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. Also, we talk about the greater works that were able to be done in regard to the kingdom that Jesus spoke of. Look in John the 14th chapter, verses 10 through 12. He says, Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. So Jesus spoke what the Father told him. The Holy Spirit revealed and brought to the remembrance of the apostles everything that Jesus taught. So we kind of see this chain of command. It says, Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father, because the kingdom is going to be set up. So it was the plan of God from the beginning to use the apostles, to use these men to carry this message of salvation to a lost and dying world. Well, did they fulfill their goal? What Christ gave them as the Great Commission, did they fulfill that? Well, let's turn over to Colossians, the first chapter, and look at verse 23. And we're going to see that the apostles accomplished the great work that God gave them to do in regard to the kingdom. It says, If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. Remember, what did Jesus tell them? To go into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. And here, Paul is saying that they did that. The apostles did that and preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So we see that the apostles, baptized by the Holy Spirit, carried this message of salvation, and they carried it out into the known world at that time. Well, in conclusion, God's plan for saving man is revealed to us. It's revealed to us in the scripture. How did we get it, though? Well, because the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's why this has been able to be revealed to us. The wisdom of God, the only way it's made known to us is through the apostles and through their being baptized with the Holy Spirit. The thing is that we all need to consider is, have we by faith submitted to this wisdom of God that the Holy Spirit that baptized the apostles has revealed to us? Are we submitted to what God teaches us? Are we submitting to His Word? Are we doing what He would have us to do in our lives? That's why we offer an invitation, because if we're not doing what God would have us to do, if we're not submitting as we should, then we need to repent and we need to make things right with the Lord. We're going to sing a song of encouragement and invitation. If you need to respond to the gospel in any way, make that need known while we stand, while we sing.